and gardening information the natural way. The Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett, is ready to go with the best information and advice on organic gardening and organic living. If you want to avoid the toxic life, jump right in with us. The water's fine. Here's your leader, John Howard, the Dirt Doctor Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to the show. Let's talk about gardening and landscaping and pest control and whatever you'd like to talk about. A telephone number to be with me to do that chatting is 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Our website's dirtdoctor.com. We're going to be talking about that some. Got a lot of new things going on there. If you haven't seen the new website, go to it and check it out, dirtdoctor.com. This hour is brought to you by Victor Pet Foods, and I need to tell you about a really good-looking dog. It's Chelsea, and she's beautiful. She is a two-year-old terrier mix at the Dallas SPCA. It's the one just west of downtown Dallas. And says she weighs about 34 pounds, sleek, shiny brown, white paws. Picture on our website on dirtdoctor.com. And it says she was seized from inhumane conditions by an animal cruelty investigator. So had a little tough life there, but she's been treated like a princess since. She has, she likes to take walks, and apparently she's adapted very well. SPCA of Texas requires that she does a meet and greet with any children under 10 that will be living with her in the new home. That way everybody will know if it's going to work out. Sounds like she's a real treat. Take a look at her. Those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, especially those of you around the country, check out the dogs and cats and pets that are available at the rescue organizations. Best place in the world to get a great pet. That's where our two, Tater and Carmen, came from, this exact place. It's the SPCA of Texas, Janrice Jones Animal Care Center in Dallas, 2400 Lone Star Drive. It's a new facility, relatively new over there. And their hours are noon to 6, 7 days a week. So you can go see Chelsea today. Taffy and Ben's are still waiting for their forever homes, and they're there also. Their pictures are on our website. So we didn't do a very good job of getting the last couple adopted. So let's help out with all three of these pets. And when you're there, you may see some others that would be worth considering as well. My tea this morning is pretty good. It's one that I used to do a whole lot, and I had forgotten about it. We were doing a lot of cleaning up and leaf management yesterday at the place. And I saw the fennel, and I was reminded about a tea that I used to use a lot, so have it again this morning. It's fennel, bay, Turk's cap, and the fruit is interesting this year on Turk's cap. It's coming on real slowly, but we have a few that are ripening. The red fruit that follows the flower is very good for your tea. Just chop it up and put it in with the other ingredients. And bay, I sometimes use a mature hard leaf, and sometimes I use the youngest, most tender leaves. I haven't seen that it makes that much difference. So try it both ways, see what way works best for you. Honey is also in my tea this morning, and it's a good flavor. I think good for you too. So give that a whirl. I want to thank the volunteers and the staff at Coppell, City of Coppell. It's where I gave a little talk last night. They have an annual event. It's really cool. They do an appreciation banquet for the volunteers, and they have a lot of volunteers. You've heard me talk about Coppell a lot. They, as far as I know, in this part of the world anyway, they do the most comprehensive community gardens I've ever seen. They actually have two locations, and they also have a farmer's market as well that's open on Saturdays over there, and they do a great job. The community gardens, first of all, and you can see it on their website. You can go to the Coppell, Coppell Community Gardens website, and they have a Facebook page also. And check out what they've done. We've got pictures of some of their stuff on our website, too, and I'm going to do more because I like how they go at things, especially the fact that they are 100% hardcore organic. And as you know, there's still a lot of people out there that poo-poo the idea, say it's really not necessary and there's nothing wrong with the synthetic fertilizers and the toxic chemical pesticides. I think there is. I think there are huge problems. But the bigger point, really, is that the quality of the food and the production and the way it works is just better using the natural organic techniques and having healthy, productive, biologically active soils and great food. And by the way, the food last night, a lot of times when I go and speak at places, the food's, you know, so-so. And it's nice people do that and then be involved in all that kind of thing. But last night was quite different. Chef Robbie, I believe is his name, the local star that has a booth at the farmer's market that they do, selling some salsa and chips and things like that. But he was the chef, and it was great. We had some kind of chicken that was Ethiopian chicken, a wonderful flavor. And then we had salad, we had lentils, we had hummus and baba ganoush, and some other things. There was a dish that was sweet potatoes and melon, one of the melons from the garden, and a lot of the food, I think almost everything there, chicken obviously came from somewhere else, but a lot of the food that we had came from the community gardens. Not only do they do a good job of producing food for the people that are involved in the city of Coppell, but they also produce a huge volume of food for the food bank. And it's terrific, and I think other cities ought to do the same thing. As you know, I haven't talked about it in a long time, but in Dallas, we've had some real frustrations. We've tried to do some community gardens in a couple of places where it ended up getting shot down. And the farmers markets have been kind of on and off again. The city has not been, city of Dallas has not been that receptive to all of that. I hope wherever you are, whatever city where you're involved, it's not as hard to get community gardens going and you have the success that Coppell has had. Take a look at their websites. They had some video that they wanted me to see, and I was trying to pull it up this morning. I thought it was on their Facebook page, and it may be. If anybody's listening can email me, you can send it to info@dirtdoctor.com where it is. I'll pull it up and take a look at it. But anyway, a lot of good stuff. I really appreciate it. It was fun to be with everybody there, and it was delightful to talk to all the people that are involved in organic gardening, successful natural organic gardening. Well, let me tell you a little in Howard's garden. We've had quite a few things going on at the house. One of the things that we have at our place, we don't have a garage. We have a carport, and it was there when we bought the house, and it's metal. And it's one of those great big corrugated kind of things. Peaks and valleys, and the valleys are about 6 inches by 6 inches, 4 to 6 inches, something like that, and they hold a lot of volume of leaves. Well, for some reason, I didn't get around to cleaning it off much last year, and so this year it was solid full of composted leaves and fresh leaves from primarily the live oak. Big live oak is over that area. And then some other leaves blowing in, too, of course. And so we spent some time blowing all that down and getting it moved over to the big compost pile that we have in the back. My compost pile is very unusual because it has two functions. One, a compost pile, but two, and more importantly, it functions as an erosion control. If you've seen photographs and videos of my back garden, you know that I have a forest of bamboo. And we also have a great drop-off. We have a drop-off that goes from the back fence down to the creek. It drops about 30 feet. And over the years, there's been some erosion. And, you know, when we bought the place, there was already some stuff there. And I've been kind of cavalier. I've just thought, well, we'll just let the plants grow and take care of that. And then this big event, this big rain event that we had in the spring, which, you know, did a lot of interesting damage, caused me some problems, and I've had to adjust a little bit. I'll tell you more about that when I come back from this break. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Open lines for you if you want to jump on here and chat or you have a problem to talk about at 866-444-3478. I'll be back with you right after this.
The future of holistic health is here. Possessing the power to maintain wellness at the cellular level, RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable new supplement that will transform the future of preventative and restorative health. RegActive features the innovative probiotic strain ME3, a patented probiotic with over 20 years of research proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. Glutathione is used by all of our cells, especially in the fight against free radicals, environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Our levels of glutathione decrease dramatically as we age, leaving us very vulnerable to age-related health issues. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
XO Odor Neutralizer is the original all-natural odor eliminator air freshener. It's non-toxic, pH neutral, and no fragrances. If you want to get rid of big odors, but do it naturally and keep it safe for children and pets, then you've got to try XO Odor Neutralizer. XO has an exclusive offer just for Dirt Doctor listeners. An 8-ounce pump spray and a 16-ounce refill bottle for only $19.98 with free shipping. Go to exocorp.com/dirtdoctor or call 800-442-9696.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here for Victor Pet Foods. In addition to the grain-free choices, all the great Victor products are wheat, corn, soy, and gluten-free and are naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater love Victor. Your dogs and cats will too. Ask for Victor at your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Telephone numbers 866-444-3478. Back to in Howard's garden. We were talking about the compost pile that we have, and it literally runs from one side of the property to the other along this drop-off. And I started doing it some years ago, and then when we had this increased erosion problem, I came up with the idea that if I encourage the bamboo more so than I have in the past, I haven't in the past because it obviously comes into the backyard every year, and I have to do that management program of bamboo that we've explained in newsletters and I have on the website. It is a very much a manageable kind of thing if you do it right. But I haven't put much fertilizer down in there because I've always thought in the past that if I did that, that would encourage it to just be more aggressive to come in. And finally, it dawned on me that there's no better erosion control than the bamboo. So for the past season and a half, I guess, I've been putting more organic fertilizer in the bamboo and actually encouraging it so that the compost that we're making in the area and the increased fertilizer is making the bamboo fill out and be much more aggressive there. And I think better than spending, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars on concrete retaining walls and all kinds of things like that would probably tear up half the backyard, that the bamboo can take care of the problem. And it's already doing that to some degree. So we'll keep you posted on that. We'll probably do a video that shows that area in a little bit more detail. Some of the videos that are on YouTube show that the whole of my backyard and through the years, the ginkgo tree. In fact, there's a video of one fall where the ginkgo is just raining leaves. It's kind of cool, and you can see that area. The fencing design and construction has changed tremendously over the years. We have videos about the different fences that I have and how they were built and all that, and that relates. At one time, in fact, you may notice in some of the videos that the bamboo is kind of hard to see because we actually had a solid fence there at one time. Now it's black chain link fence, which I highly approve of. We already had the chain link fence there. I had just hidden it with the regular fence. And if anybody has chain link fence, one of the first things I always recommend for people is to paint it black. You can stand back and watch somebody painting a chain link fence black, and it looks like they're just stripping the fabric out of it. It looks like it's just vanishing. And you can use other colors than black, but black is really cool. What I've done in the past, I used to do it when I designed various gardens. We design chain link fence in on purpose sometimes in dog runs and various kinds of things, and where it was a budget issue. And we experimented around with mixing the black paint with some other color. And one of my favorites ended up being a black that had a little bit of green mixed into it. It made a nice color. Brown we sometimes used as well. But the most important thing on painting a chain link fence is to use a latex paint. You've got to, on a brand new chain link fence, you've got to oxidize it some first, because it'll have a little, well, it'll be galvanized for one thing, and it'll tend to have a little bit of an oily finish to it, and it won't hold paint. So there's a couple of things you can do. You can leave it out in the weather for some period of time, and it will, you know, the weather will clean it up and oxidize it, and you can paint it, and the paint will hold on there. Or you can speed up the process, and that would be by painting it with vinegar, real strong, strongest vinegar you want to deal with, and paint on there, not a good organic apple cider vinegar. In this case, it'd be better just to use a white vinegar, and one of the cheapest ones you can find. Paint it on there, let it sit for a while, do it again, and then in a real short period of time, you'd be ready to paint the black paint on there. I use a masonry roller on the fence and paint it. I get it. When I do it, I get it all over myself. When I have somebody do it, they cuss me about how messy it is. And that's why you need to do it with latex paint. You do the fabric part with the masonry roller, and then you use a paint brush on the posts and the gear, the hardware, the closing apparatuses, and things like that. But it works well. I've had some people in the past tell me that they want to use a spray to do it, and I've always tried to talk people out of that because it wastes so much of the paint. It just, you know, there's a lot more air to a chain link fence than there is chain link fence. But the funniest comment I ever got was years ago, a golf course superintendent, and he's not even around anymore at all, but he had the most interesting comment. We had talked about doing it on a golf course, and he said he was going to spray it. And I said, I don't think it would be a good idea. I think it will waste a lot of paint once you use the masonry roller. He said, no, I'm not going to waste any paint. He said, I'm going to use a piece of plywood behind the fence and spray it. never quite figured out that it was still wasting the same amount of paint. But anyway, that's a technique that I recommend you try. Anyway, back to the In Howard's Garden thing. We have got some things blooming that are kind of fascinating. We've got some plants that hadn't bloomed all year. The angel trumpet is just now, the Brugmansia, is just now setting buds. It's got big buds hanging down all over it. I got about three plants in the backyard. I don't know if it's the severity of my shade or what, but that's one plant that's blooming real late. I'll tell you about some of the others when I come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, I'll be back right after this.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step-by-step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best-looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garajuice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garajuice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I now feed my dogs, and the pet food that you should let your pets try. They will enjoy it, just like mine do. Victor not only has grain-free choices, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. These great products are naturally preserved with no toxic chemicals, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor dog food and cat food at your favorite pet store or feed store. And for more information about dog and cat food recommended by me, the Dirt Doctor, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All right, Howard, back with you. And we have wide open lines for you, so jump on here if you want to chat about anything. I got a few more things that I need to cover. And if you don't call, I'll get into some other things that I wanted to cover. But the number is 866-444-3478. I have, in the past, planted several different Mahonias. Mahonia is a shrub that I've got some interesting experience with. Back when I first started my career out of the Marines, I worked for a country club company, Country Club of America, actually, CCA, here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, out in Carrollton. And I got in, it's how I ended up getting into the landscape business so much. I enjoyed doing the landscaping there more than working on the golf course. I started as a laborer and then became an assistant superintendent, but also was in charge of the landscaping that we did there, and I just fell in love with all the plants and all the different things and just soaking stuff in. We had a real great gardener, old fellow, had been there a long time, and he really knew a lot about flowering plants, especially annuals, and he taught me some really good stuff. But and then I started doing some design on the side, landscape design on the side, actually for my boss, which was the most interesting point of it. He's the one that got me to help him with projects he was selling on the side, and just fell in love with it and said the heck with the golf course business and went into the landscape design business. I had another little interesting side note on that. When I graduated from Tech, my degree was park administration and landscape architecture. Later on, they separated them into two different curricula. But the point I wanted to tell you about was that in those days qualified you to simply fill out the forms and be grandfathered in as a registered landscape architect in the state of Texas. But I thought I was going to be a golf course architect and be in the golf course business and everything, so I didn't do it. And the time period ran out. So once I started doing the freelance landscaping on the side, I realized that I needed to be a registered landscape architect. Now I knew I had the qualifications to do it, and I looked into it, and they said, "Oops, you're too late. Now you're going to have to go and take the tests in Austin and go through the whole thing." So I had to do all that, and I didn't even have to do it if I had been smart enough about the timing on stuff. But anyway, what I was going to tell you is that one of the plants that I started playing with was Mahonia. Mahonia aquifolium caught my eye, and I just thought it was the most beautiful plant, soft texture and beautiful yellow flowers and all. And I started planting. I started buying it and planting it here and there. Well, it didn't take very long before it started going downhill and crashing and burning here and there, and I learned that wasn't a good plant for the Dallas-Fort Worth area. At the same time, I learned that another Mahonia, Mahonia belii, which is the rough leaf Mahonia, it has a great big leaf and it's sharp. It's pretty well armed, whereas the Mahonia aquifolium was pretty soft. Well, the rest of the story is that about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, I was going to one of the local plant sales. I don't know if it was the Heard Museum or the Texas Discovery Gardens or which one it was. We have several here. And I bought a Mahonia that is a native Mahonia, native to Texas. And it has the softest, prettiest foliage. I think I've put it on Facebook before. It's been a long time, though. I probably ought to take a picture now that I'm stirring your interest in it, and I'll put it on Facebook. Maybe we can find a good source of it, because that's part of the story. I don't know where it came from. I don't know how to get any more of them. It is the most beautiful, soft shrub, and it has Mahonia foliage. It looks like a Mahonia, but it's even softer than the Mahonia aquifolium. Now, it has not, and it may just be that it only gets a little bit of sun during the middle of the day, and then it's shade like a lot of things in my garden, but it hasn't bloomed yet. On the other hand, I've got another Mahonia that I got from a regular nursery here in town not too long ago, and it has very delicate leaves, almost looks like a dissectum Japanese maple, very delicate foliage. And I put it in a pot. I've just got one to play around with. And lo and behold, yesterday I was walking by while we were cleaning doing the leaf work, and it has clusters of yellow blooms down in it, and it's very, very unusual blooms that are showing up on the Mahonia. So point is, there's a lot of Mahonias out there. Some will work well in your area, and some won't. The Mahonia belii probably is the most durable of all. It'll grow in sand or in heavy clay soils. It just seems to do well in any kind of soil.
So, Howard, we have
Mary
a call.
Mary Rose, it looks like there's somebody online.
David. No, it's David from Dallas. He's got a question about Confederate jasmine.
Oh, okay. We may be having a little technical issue there.
But, yeah, just know you can pick the phone up. There you go.
Okay, David, what can I do for you?
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Garrett.
Sure.
I'm a big fan of Confederate jasmine, you know, like the fragrant flowers.
Oh, I like it, too.
Springtime. Yeah. And when I was in Florida, I had a huge one in my front porch, and I've always, you know, wanted to have another one at my current house in Ennis. And, well, every time I plant it, it comes, it grows great during the summertime, springtime. But once, you know, winter comes around, of course, it freezes and it kills it all the way down to the ground. And then by the next spring, it barely has a chance to come back, and most time doesn't even flower before it's killed again for the wintertime. I was wondering if there's a way I could protect it, some kind of sheeting or anything I could do just to protect it so it will actually
grow bigger. Don't have to buy a new one
every year. Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that you can do, David. It's a plant that is marginally hardy, as you have learned the hard way. But there's a couple things to do. First of all, are you using organic techniques?
I'm learning
okay.
to do that.
If you will do that and do it pretty hardcore, you know, nothing but compost in the soil and the rock minerals, the first thing I'd recommend that you do is wherever you plant Confederate jasmine, build that bed with the soil amendments that I would have recommended you use when you started in the first place, and that is compost, not peat moss, but compost, rock minerals like lava sand, Texas green sand, azomite, those kind of things, granite, and then the sugars of cornmeal and molasses. If you do that and you go organic with your fertilization program, you're going to give yourself about 4 to 5 degrees of hardiness, cold hardiness protection just by doing that. So that'll help a lot right there. I've got a Confederate jasmine at the office, for example, that's on the west side. It's near our front door, and it has a few leaves brown up every year, but it comes back out all the way to the top of the plant every year.
Oh, wow.
So, and then the other thing that I'd recommend you do, and I was going to get back into talking about the leaf management more. That was my next subject to talk about. If you will keep your leaves, if you mulch them, if you grind them up into a finer texture, that's fine. But in this case, if you just keep them loose and full and cover the base of plants like that one that you some have been losing in the winter, it'll give you a protection of another couple of degrees. Now, you can go to the next step of covering the top of the plant and everything with floating row cover and absolutely keep it just in pristine shape, and it'll come back out and look as good as it did the previous growing season. But that's a little bit too much trouble for me. I normally don't do that. So I'd go organic. I'd cover with real thick mulch. You could also do it with shredded tree trimmings. And this is a case where we actually are going to be piling something up on the stem of the plant. I normally, you know, recommend staying away from that idea, especially with trees and woody plants. And we still will for all the things that are hardy. But something that's tender for where you are like that, putting a thick pile of mulch on and then being very careful in the spring to rake it back away works okay. like a charm.
Outstanding. And if you get a moment, I have another question.
Sure. Go ahead.
I'm a big fan of red delicious apples. I eat them all the time. And I was wondering if it's a possibility to really grow those in Texas.
It's not that hard a variety to grow. I don't talk about it that often, David, because a lot of people don't like the taste of red delicious apple. You know, some people think it's a little strongly like a sweeter kind of a taste, and so we end up talking about others, but it is one that'll grow here. Just get one, plant it with the techniques that I recommend on the website. Most fruit trees in general are planted too deeply in the soil, and that causes all kinds of problems. So look at my planting recommendations on dirtdoctor.com. Big wide ugly hole, set the tree high, backfill with the soil that came out of the hole and nothing else. And don't cut the tree back unless you want to form some kind of special branching pattern for pruning purposes. But for the health of the tree, you don't prune back a bud. Just leave the. A lot of people recommend you cut them back severely. I don't. And settle the soil with water, no tamping and no staking, no wrapping the trunk, and you'll be off and running and should have some good production. I would recommend you plant a couple of other varieties. Look at the ones in my plant books that we recommend for different areas and give yourself a little better odds that way in case the weather goes one direction or the other direction. If you have several different varieties, you have a better chance of having success with one of the varieties.
All right. Thank you for your help, Doctor.
I appreciate the call very much. Thank you. Mary Rose, what's happening is the light's on, but what you're writing is not showing up, so I don't know who's on line two.
Roger is on line two. He's calling from Forney, and he wants to start growing blackberries.
All righty, great. So. Hello, Roger. What's up?
Oh, yes, hello. I'd like to know if I can grow blackberries in heavy black clay soil.
Yes,
I live
sir.
In Forney.
You bet. It's one of the easiest plants to grow, one of the easiest fruit plants you can grow. I would recommend, just like I recommended to David on the fruit trees, plant two or three different varieties and plant them in organically prepared soil, just like I just explained. You might try one that's a thorning plant and one or two that aren't thorning, and you will have some good luck. It'll be the biggest problem with blackberries is keeping them under control. They tend to pop up all over the place and get to expand more than you would like. But they're an easy plant to grow. You'll enjoy it.
Would you review the soil preparation again? Tell me what to do.
Yeah, can you hang on and so we're not rushed? I need to take a little break here, and then we'll come back and do that. I think it'd be good to do. It's the most important part of what I recommend here, really, is how to prepare the soil the natural way. We'll do that right after this break. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
EcoSafe provides natural, organic pest control to take care of pests without using harmful, toxic products. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. EcoSafe specializes in the use of Spectra products to eliminate pests naturally. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities to the pest control companies. Call 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
Recovery Nutrition is not only about food, but also about proper hydration. High-quality water is mineral-dense and not processed for the greatest amount of nutrient absorption and a more speedy recovery. Crazy Water naturally contains over 11 minerals and electrolytes. Nothing is added. Crazy Water is so good, it's crazy. Get some today at Whole Foods, Central Market, HEB, Kroger, Brookshire's, Albertsons, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. Telephone number, and things seem to be working okay now. So jump on here at 866-444-3478. We were talking with, well, some things are working well because Roger is no longer with us. But I know what he wanted to talk about, so I'll just cover it myself. He wanted to know about the bed preparation. He was going to plant blackberries. And by the way, Roger, if you're listening out there, I hope you are. And if you've got cut off, didn't have to leave, call us back and we'll get you right on. But the one, I would definitely get several different varieties, at least two or three varieties of blackberries. And the one you might want to include for sure that I've had a lot of luck with around this part of the world is the Brazos. It's a thorny one, but it's, boy, the delicious, delicious fruit. And there are others, so like I said, try some others. They're inexpensive, small plants to get started. But the bed preparation, for the best luck, they'll grow in just about any soil. But if you prepare the beds with the natural techniques, you'll have even better production, and you'll have it sooner. And what you want to do is onto the existing native soil. You don't need to dig the soil out and move it. You really don't need to bring in any fresh new soil. In fact, I don't recommend it. I recommend using the existing soil that you have and add to it the amendments that bring it up to a healthy condition. Number one's compost. Put 4 to 6 inches of compost across it. If you the budget requires smaller amounts, that's fine. Just do as much as you can. And then across the same area, you put lava sand, green sand, cornmeal, dry molasses, and one of the organic fertilizers. Now, on DirtDoctor.com and all my books, the rates of all these things are there. So if you miss writing any of these down, you can check back on those and get the rates. But the rate that I recommend for lava sand varies tremendously. I would put out at least 80 pounds, though, per 1,000 square feet. If you put down an inch of it or more, that's fine. You can grow a plant in 100% lava sand. You know, the best, the most beautiful, productive plant growth in the world is in, you know, solid lava rock areas like Hawaii. The weather helps too, but the soil that has volcanic a volcanic component is going to be more productive. It's just facts of life. That's just how it is. The green sand, which is a marine deposit, you put out at somewhere between 40 and 80 pounds. And 80 pounds is normally what I recommend for best. And the way you do it is you just broadcast. The easiest way to remember it is if you put lava sand out heavy enough to where it turns the soil red, you know, that's a good start. That's a minimum that you ought to put out. And putting out the green sand so it turns the red to a green color is a good rule of thumb there. And then the next is cornmeal. Cornmeal and dry molasses go out at the same rate that the organic fertilizer does. Now, dry molasses will function as a dry organic fertilizer. But in new beds, it would be better, and it's not going to be that much more money, to put the dry molasses out at 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet or 2 pounds per 100 square feet. And then the cornmeal, whole ground cornmeal, best place to get that is from the feed stores, farm stores, garden centers that sell it in big 50-pound bags and so forth. Put it out at 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. And then get one of the organic fertilizers like Nature's Guide or Medina or any of them, Green Sense, any of the good quality organic fertilizers, Maestro Grow. There's a bunch of them on the market, and you can see a lot of those on our website, too. Put the organic fertilizer out at 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. Now you till all of that, the compost and those other amendments, into the existing soil. Go down 8 or 10 inches or so. So that you've created a raised bed with this additional material that you've put out. Some of the other rock materials, minerals, I probably ought to mention too, that could be added, and if the budget allows it, it would be beneficial. They'd be things like decomposed granite, just ground up granite, which are two different products. The commercial product azomite is a wonderful source of all kinds of trace minerals. It's a naturally mined material. Zeolite is great to add to the mix. And natural diatomaceous earth is terrific, too. We were talking about it last night. I was talking to some of the gardeners at Coppell about it last night, and they were worried that it would hurt earthworms. And it won't hurt earthworms at all. When diatomaceous earth is in the soil and it has moisture, it doesn't have any of the dehydrating power at all. And that's how it kills insects. It doesn't cut them up and lacerate them and things like we used to say. We just followed what other people were saying years ago and said that. And that's totally incorrect. That's not what diatomaceous earth does to kill insects if it's in a dry situation. It dehydrates them. It fouls up the balance of moisture in their body, and that's how it kills them. So when it's in the soil and moist, it has none of that power. And it not only won't hurt earthworms, it's good for the earthworms. And it provides an available source of silica. Now, silica is the most plentiful mineral on Earth, but it's not always available to the plants. And so if you add it to your bed preparation, stir all of this together, create a raised bed flat on the top, carve the sides down at a 45-degree angle, plant away. Once you have transplants big enough or the seedlings have grown to a size big enough, put a mulch, a shredded native tree trimmings mulch. More on mulch is when I get back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, don't go away.